on the East. Right now it's time for the World on Finance Show with your host today, Mr. Everett James. And before I bring Mr. James to the set, I'm also William A. Brown. I am a financial advisor. And I promised in when I put out the post that I will give you an idea on a, well, some, not financial advice per se, but some investment strategies, and one that has worked for me over the last 25 years or so since I've been involved in this industry as a broker and a financial advisor is, ladies and gentlemen, if you have money in a bank, like such as in a CD, and you're probably getting less than 0.5% or 1%, or you have mutual funds where the volatility of the market has hurt you in the past, or you are involved in stocks and you have lost some money, whether it's a lot or a small amount. Got an idea for you might want to look at. And that idea is called an FIA. And you might ask, what is an FIA? An FIA is a fixed indexed annuity. And it provides all of the, I would say, benefits that you are looking for, such as safety, number one, meaning that you can never, ever, ever, ever lose your money in this instrument. It also has some upside potential. So if the market goes up, you capture some of the gains. If it goes down, you lose nothing. And many of these products also come with no fees attached to it. You know, if you have mutual funds, you have a 401k or something like of that nature, you are paying fees. If you have stocks, you are paying fees. So how about something that's going to give you safe, something that will give you growth when the growth is there, no losses in case the market goes down. And with that, I'm going to bring to the set our tax advisor, Mr. Everett James. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How is the reception out there on the East Coast?
Oh, it's pretty good. Very good. Very good. Nice day out here. The reception is great, and I can hear you loud and clear.
Wonderful.
Yep. And so if I can hear you, I believe that our audience around the world can hear you equally as well.
That's great.
So anyway, Mr. James, what's on tap today?
Well, we're going to go ahead and continue to update on the CBDC, the Central Bank Digital Currency project that the government has been involved in. And we'll take a look at what it might be like to live in a cashless society.
Mm. Mm. A cashless society. Hey, you know, that's interesting. A friend of mine, you know, I've been doing on my Boomerang show several shows regarding AI, artificial intelligence. That's right. And I think what you're speaking of will fit right in that realm. And something, I'm going to just step aside, something is about some new Amazon stores that are popping up. And I'm not exactly sure where they're located, but I saw something that seems like it's a good thing on one hand, but it could seem terribly troubling on the other end. And yes, those stores, they do not accept cash. As a matter of fact, yes, you walk in and you have to have an app, and it has to, when you walk in, it is automatically activated. There are no cashiers. You can walk in and pick up anything you want, anything in the store. However, if you walk, when you walk out, those purchases have already been logged onto your account, and you will be charged for that. Now, so you know, there's a lot of theories going around that, but I'm not going to take up your time because I'm anxious to hear what you have to say.
Yes, thank you so much, and welcome, listening audience, wherever ye be in the in this world. This is Everett James, your trusty weekly reporter on tax news. For your information and for your questions, please feel free to contact this station by calling 951-522-9877. That is actually my direct number, phone number. For those who are more comfortable with the internet, please use evjtax1@gmail.com. That's evjtax1@gmail.com. And the one is just the numeral and not spelled out. I'll repeat that once or twice before the end of the hour. Okay, so as I mentioned, this is a time when the currency of the United States is under intense scrutiny because in order to obtain some major benefits, particularly speed in handling transactions, the currency is possibly in the process of a change. And the change has officially been dubbed CBDC, the Central Bank Digital Currency. Well, technically, the government has been involved in this project for the past year. It has not officially decided to convert our transactions into digital format, but the reality is that if you look at how we pay for our goods and services today, it's a big difference from back in the 1950 when the Diners Club introduced the world's first credit card. You know, since then, since that credit card innovation, the rest of our commercial society has followed suit. More than 70 years later, the cashless society that's been promised since then has been coming on strong, and that it hasn't actually reached 100%. You know, and despite all kinds of direct deposit arrangements, Apple Pay, Venmo, cryptocurrency, despite all of those innovations, the little green pieces of paper, green rectangular shaped paper with pictures of dead presidents, they still have a home in our wallets. If the mobile banking applications and blockchains didn't bring death to the dollar, is the long-awaited cashless society a myth, or is it a generation coming of age today, the last that will ever see paper money outside of a museum? According to the New York Times, central banks across the world are experimenting with digital versions of their money, you know, kind of like Bitcoin, but issued by the state and controlled as a currency. Sweden, China, Japan, and others are introducing these digital currencies alongside old-fashioned cash. The plan in large would be to phase out paper money gradually over time. I would say the gradually has really been changed into a much more steep change over time rather than any kind of a gradual change. According to the Atlantic Council, the U.S. Federal Reserve recently began working on a bank-to-bank digital currency of its own to speed up transfers between the world's financial institutions. America's central bank digital currency would be only for wholesale transactions as of this time. So it's been in existence on a wholesale basis, but it has not yet become a consumer currency. And the yet is the key word. According to the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve, while Americans have long held money predominantly in digital form, for example, in bank accounts, payment applications, or online transactions, while that has been the case where we've held our money for a long time in that digital form, a CBDC, that is a central bank digital currency, would differ from existing digital currency available to the general public, because a CBDC, the digital currency, would be a liability of the Federal Reserve, not a liability of the commercial bank. Conventional wisdom, you know, says it's not a matter of it, but really when cash goes extinct and all commerce becomes digital commerce. Well, not everybody is convinced. Some people, such as comments from Alan Siegel, who's a partner, Chaykin, Sherman, Camarada, and Siegel, if we go back to a cashless society, we essentially take a step backward, in time. Whether that's true or not, one thing is certain. There's more cash in the economy today than ever before. According to the Bank for International Settlements, there was just $428 worth of coins and banknotes per person circulating in the United States in 1978. Well, 40 years later, in 2018, it was $55,238 per person. So, so there's plenty of money circulating out there. In 1978, Massachusetts became the first state to enact a law enshrining the use of cash as a medium of exchange. The law says that no retail establishment offering goods and services for sale can discriminate or shall discriminate against the cash buyer by requiring the use of credit. Well, I believe that particular law has been truly outdated by the practice, by what's going on in the world. Cash is still important, and many people say it's still king. In most cases, legislators said that they wrote the pro-cash laws to protect low-income people who might obviously not have bank accounts or access to technology or digital payment systems. But according to Cash Matters, that's not the only reason to stick with money as we know it. The organization argues that America should not and can never fully detach itself from cash. And then why? Well, cash ensures a stable currency. Cash has always been the most secure payment method. It's very, very low tech. It's resilient in difficult economic times. It's universal, transcends social economic boundaries, free to use, and fosters national identity. And as people have often said, if you get a $20 bill from a friend, that's a pretty definite and secure way of obtaining that value from a friend or an acquaintance. And it leaves no footprint. There is no record that a government, particularly one that might be a dictatorial government, can follow. Cash, however, it will outlive its usefulness as a currency. Generations of Americans could not have imagined that pieces of paper would ever replace precious metal like silver and gold. They wouldn't have understood how cash could be worth anything if it weren't at least backed up by physical gold. Well, in 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard entirely, and today, no American younger than 52 has ever handled money that was backed by anything but reassurance from the government. The folks are predicting that within the next 20 years, the world will go fully cashless. Money will be in a digital form, just like our credit cards now, bank accounts, and PayPal. If you mean Will our world remove a currency altogether? Really not. Cash is going to is going to maintain the, you know, its position, but we're now just exploring and considering what the world would be like without cash. The author of some of my following comments are from Bill Maurer. That's not the that is not the a comic, TV comic, but his name, last name is spelled Maurer, Bill Maurer. He's an anthropology professor at the University of California. And, you know, he really has a straightforward take on what would happen if money no longer existed. Cash no longer existed, he says it would be terrible. Well, he explained that there would be issues surrounding accessibility, security, and privacy. For example, all non-cash payments require actually having a bank account or having a formal connection to a commercial bank. About 4.5% of all U.S. households, or about 6 million folks, were considered to be unbanked in 2001. And what did I mean by that? That meant that they did not have a checking or a savings account, with a bank or a credit union. And that's according to data from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Of course, those who are unbanked or underbanked, you know, really are shut out of the digital or mobile economy. And when that happens, that just is another a bit of evidence that the country still, you know, has high levels of inequity. If paper money does go away, of course, those folks would be stuck without any way to pay for their goods and services. You know, this was pointed out back in the pandemic, when the pandemic payments were sent out, and those folks who did not have a bank account or a checking account, they received the debit cards, you'll recall. However, those debit cards did come with fees if you made more than one withdrawal, or paper checks, which would cost you if you're using a check cashing service. You know, to obtain that money. But, you know, paper money, you know, certainly is not subject to cyber security risk or privacy violations. And as I mentioned, if I hand you a 20-buck bill, there's no data captured by anybody from that transaction. It's strictly a private thing, anonymous thing. Whereas all forms of digital payment generate a data trail. In a worst case scenario, Maurer said governments could use digital trails to surveil a population and prevent them from using mobile or digital services if they disapprove of their financial activity. Or a platform could target people with financial products that they really don't want or need. All you have to do is just look north to Canada at the experience that the truckers had during the strike a couple of years ago. And that's when their government leader froze bank accounts of some of the truckers, preventing them from accessing the income to buy groceries, buy gasoline, buy medicine. Their accounts were actually frozen in place. If you look at there are some nations that have also experienced that, particularly Venezuela, Cyprus has experienced the same type of thing. And I believe Cyprus is still in a deposit lockdown where folks lost the capability of being able to access their bank accounts. One economist, Jay Zagorski of Boston University, he decided to pay his taxes in cash to IRS this year. He went down to the highest security federal building where it took him half an hour to make a payment. They filled in what appeared to be a four-part carbon form. So it's obvious that IRS has not automated this part of their business. As we move forward, and as I say, the move toward a society without cash, depending entirely on digital currency, is a trend. Most folks in the financial world believe that, despite the fact that it's taking over point of sale transactions, that because of some of the benefits that cash offers, cash will still be part of our system. And the government has said, our government has said, that this move toward a CBDC is really intended to accommodate cash and not exclude cash, but they see the marketplace, as being a place where both forms of currency coexist, cash and a digital currency. There's a number of goals for government-issued digital currencies. One of the main things is just modernizing our payment systems, making our payment system more inclusive, preserving the dollar status as a reserve currency of the world, and enhancing financial stability. But there's flaws with each of those arguments. One of the flaws is that much of the money that we use today is already electronic. Several scientists have also indicated that surveys that have been done find that the reasons that many people have not really put all of their faith and trust is because they just simply don't trust banks. Also, the dollar is the reserve currency of the world. Why is that? That's because the folks, most people in the world, trust the United States for a whole bunch of reasons. We at least have a fairly stable currency. We have a fairly robust rule of law. At least that's what's on the books. We generally respect property rights. We generally respect contracts, or we pretty much always enforce, respect contracts, and enforce contracts. I would think that's one of the strongest indicators of our legal system. And we have so far independent judiciary. As I mentioned, the current proposals for CBDC, central bank digital currency, they really are not aimed at completely replacing cash, but it remains to be seen whether the government will end up creating a digital currency. They statements from the Federal Reserve been that before anything this major occurs, there would have to be an action by legislature, the House of Representatives and the Senate. Congress would have to approve, there would have to be a authorization law that is actually passed before digital currency, such as the CBDC, is actually installed. Many people ask, well, okay, that's fine. Do we really need paper money to keep the economy humming along? Well, there really isn't necessarily an economic reason that dictates the need to keep paper money. It's more just of what really people want. As long as someone wants paper money, we will always have it, according to some experts. And the Federal Reserve have at least their stated position is that they should be facilitating choice in payment. And they're sort of agnostic about what kind of payment, but the Federal Reserve does want to make sure that there are as many choices as possible for people who need them. At this point in time, many the financial pundits say cash needs to be kept in circulation because so many people use it despite the move toward cashless payments. That same Pew Research study pointing out that cashlessness is on the rise, and that really, you know, at this point, studies and polls have found that nearly 60%, say that they pay, that three-fifths of Americans say they pay cash for at least some of their purchases in a typical week. So it's really moving along, and you probably have noticed as the owner and director of this broadcast station has pointed out. There are more and more businesses now that are only accepting digital payments. Wow. So what's the deal with all this cashless society hype? Are cash and coins going away for good? And does a cashless society really look all that different, than the world we live in right now? Well, a cashless society could be defined as one where all physical money, cash and coins, is totally replaced by digital currency. In the cashless society, you can't spend or save money dollars because they are not accepted as payments. And the payment in your bank account only exists in digital form. So that means no driving through an ATM to withdraw a fresh stack of Andrew Jackson dollars. The only way to pay for stuff in a cashless society is through a digital transfer. And they can be, the transfers can be done with debit or credit cards or through a digital wallet. And by wallet, what do we mean by wallet? Well, applications like Zelle, PayPal, Google Pay, Venmo, Apple Pay. There are certain areas of the country where that Apple Pay card is almost a symbol of some type of sophistication or cultural dominance. So some people say, well, don't we already have a cashless society? Well, cash is still king. But, and that's really because of the convenience factor. A lot of folks just choose to make their everyday purchases with cash or applications. But if you just think about it, unless you're really a hardcore stickler for using the try and true envelope system, which is, you know, putting the cash in various envelopes depending on what utility you're going to be making a payment on. When was the last time you actually pulled out a wad of cash to pay for anything? Pew Research shows that in a typical week, 41% of Americans make absolutely zero purchases using cash. That's, wow, does that make sense? a lot of us just swipe our debit cards to pay for everything, and that includes things as minuscule and inexpensive and insignificant as a cup of coffee from Starbucks. A lot of us just swipe our debit cards to pay for everything. We have wallets stuffed to the brim, but not with cash. We have just receipts, gift cards, and gum wrappers. And so the prediction that wallets may be on their way out too, because the main function of wallets is to carry cash, and when cash goes down in popularity, so do wallets. But, you know, it's in a world where cash doesn't exist in all physical forms, no one is paid under the table, and every transaction you make is traceable. Yike. So that is, you know, that would impact the privacy issue that the government has been, at least the Federal Reserve, has been claiming will be covered if a new CBDC currency is installed in the United States. Because of our past political experience with the law enforcement community and the ongoing persecution of certain political standouts, even former presidents, because of that, there is a growing amount of suspicion about the motives of the federal government in this endeavor. And one of the main reasons that the United States is behind other nations in the world in developing digital currency, that is a central bank digital currency, is because of the ongoing and more really very, very entrenched opposition to this type of a currency. It's having elements in it that makes it subject to being used to punish people, punish citizens for their political stance and for believing things that is not in line with the mentality and the policy of the federal government. So a cashless society would run totally on government-backed digital currency. And while no societies are 100% cashless at this moment, some countries like Sweden and China really appear to be headed that way. What is a digital currency? Well, digital currency, again, is created in a computer network, and it only exists electronically. So it's not something that's as mentioned before, you can go by a bank and draw cash, physical cash out of at a local bank. Be careful not to confuse electronic currency with digital currency. Now, if you look at your bank account, you'll see that a number that numbers that represent electronic currency. And that electronic currency, you can draw that out at any time for actual dollar bills. Many folks get their paycheck through an electronic transfer that just shows up in your bank account. Basically, that's your guarantee that you've actually been paid. The difference between that electronic currency and digital currency is that the digital currency cannot be withdrawn for physical cash. You can, for electronic currency, you can go to the bank and you can withdraw money from that electronic currency. But if it's in digital form, it cannot be withdrawn for physical cash. If you're thinking that sounds a lot like cryptocurrency, well, you're right. Cryptocurrency is a type of digital currency. This means the businesses are not legally, and when they say legal tender, that means the crypto is not overseen by any government body. It's not legal tender. And it also means that businesses are not required to accept cryptocurrency as payment. In order to use the cryptocurrency, you have to convert it into the dollars at the current time. What is a central bank digital currency? To repeat again, for a cashless society, to be cashless, it needs a government-backed digital currency that's legal tender. And that is otherwise known as the central bank digital currency, CBDC. How many times have you looked at a dollar bill and been able to pick out the statement that says this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private? CBDCs, the digital currency, will be legal tender that can be spent pretty much like cash. The only difference is you can't stuff them under your mattress. They will not be in a physical form. You can't mail them CBDCs and to your kids. Can't mail them CBDCs in a birthday card or a greeting card of any kind. Several countries have created their own digital currencies. And at this moment, the Federal Reserve of the United States is still technically investigating its own CBDC that some people refer to as Fed coins. But that Fed coin is different. President Biden signed an executive order announcing that they would be looking into the potential of a CBDC, and has been hard at work developing it. They did say it would complement rather than replace current forms of money and methods for providing financial services. Now, this means that a CBDC would exist with paper dollars, at least at first. The Fed thinks that a digital currency would be safer for Americans because it would be held by the federal government directly by the Fed instead of a commercial bank. Banks lend out most of the money currently that their customers deposit, and that has caused some risk for bank customers. Of course, if everyone decides to withdraw their money at the same time, wow, you'll have another bank run, which happened back in the early 1930s. But with digital dollars, your money would be held by the Fed. What are some of the problems with the central bank digital currency? Well, as you can imagine, it would have a huge effect on the banking industry and how it serves its customers. It could drastically reduce the amount of actual dollars that banks have available to lend. And if the Fed does create this digital currency, you would expect private companies and banks to offer accounts and digital wallets to make spending and saving digital currency possible. The biggest issue, I would say, is the issue of privacy. And the worry, of course, is that the government, while holding your money, would know how you spend it. The government could also restrict your spending. And the government could also decide to take your money. And you can see why a totalitarian regimes such as China likes the idea of a CBDC and has often in the past 12 months indicated that it was one of the main methodologies that the government uses to direct and control their population. Now, on the other hand, the federal government, our federal government, doesn't want the digital dollar to be 100% anonymous, like cryptocurrency, because it wants to keep people from spending digital dollars on illegal stuff, normally purchased with cash. An example, drug dealers do not accept debit cards. Another big concern is the digital dollar would exclude people who are unbanked or underbanked and primarily use cash. A good example, of course, is the huge influx of quote, migrants through the southern border. This includes, of course, in that category, children, the poor, the elderly, and, of course, the rest of the undocumented immigrants. And of course, the biggest problem is, one of the big problems is the technical problems, and that could just prevent you from accessing your money. Or your account could get hacked. Those problems really already exist. But you know, could you imagine if the federal digital currency got somehow hacked? Boy, that would truly crash the economy. So the Fed still has a lot of problems to solve. The notice of this possibility of cash being partially supplanted by a digital currency has provoked a huge amount of cash relocation, folks relocating their cash from banks to other valuable commodities, you know, such as gold and silver. The government, you know, continues to say that it doesn't plan to issue a digital currency, that is the Federal Reserve issuing a digital currency, without backing from the president and mainly the Congress. Often we can observe that looking at how long it takes for Congress to agree on anything, that would be certainly at issue. But on the other hand, if the Congress is controlled by one party or another, if the party that controls Congress is the same party that the president is in, and this was steamrolled through the Congress, it might pass through Congress in a mini whisker. If the Congress is evenly split, there would be a controversy, and it would require, in all likelihood, some folks crossing the line to support this effort. Who knows? It's all up to conjecture how long Congress would take to act on this type of a major financial change in our system. What we will in July of 2023, the Fed did launch its Fed Now service. Fed Now is not a digital currency. What is Fed Now? Fed Now, it's just a way of speeding up cash transfers. What it does, it allows banks and individuals to send and receive payments instantaneously between bank accounts. Now, though there's a lot of conspiracy theories that are, bouncing around now, the Fed has said that FedNow, and they repeated that FedNow is not a form of digital currency. It doesn't plan to replace cash. With FedNow. FedNow is very similar to federal transfer services, and there's a number of transfer services, but FedNow is just a lot faster. Transfers of cash that used to take days to clear will now be done in seconds with FedNow. So there has been some folks who have been theorizing about the impact of the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, on this trend toward a cashless society. Well, you know, some of the pundits have said that, well, yeah, we might use less cash, but the society still has a long way to go before it's totally and completely cashless. And just because some stores didn't want to accept dollar bills for a while and maybe still don't, that doesn't mean a cashless society is here to stay. Dollar bills are always gross and filled with germs, even before the pandemic ever came along. And that didn't seem to bother anyone in accepting, handling, and using cash to buy valuable things for themselves. So, but just think about it. How much of your money is virtual already? Does your boss, does he hand you a pile of cash on payday? No. You probably wake up on Friday morning to a nice little direct deposit from your employer in your bank account. You never saw the money physically. It never changed hands in person. And the only reason you even know you did get paid is because some ones and zeros in your bank account tell you that it did. Now, you may even pay your family and friends through applications like Zelle, PayPal, or Venmo, especially if you don't have cash on hand and didn't see your friends in person. But remember, this doesn't mean we live in a cashless society. You can still pull out cash from the bank, and you can still stuff your grocery envelopes with it, or even slip a few dollars under your kid's pillow for their lost tooth. Cash is still alive and well, and no pandemic can take it down. Like it or not, there's still lots of people who like and rely on using dollar bills. As long as those folks are around, we won't be moving to a cashless society anytime soon. Many folks still see cash as king. Dave Ramsey always stood by using cash, and that will never change. But when you buy something with cash, you know, you really feel it. You have to give up something like that $20 bill or even $50 bill. If you can get a hold of one these days, you can still depend on those bills to get the things you want to buy, like that brand new T-shirt. And you can feel that internal friction in you as you watch that money leave your hands and disappear into a cashier's drawer. So, but think about how much big business would love for us all to go cash. It's easier to spend more when we can just swipe a card or scan our phones, right? Isn't that a motivation for big business to prefer cashless transactions? So, of course, these big companies would jump at the chance to get us all to stop using cash for good. It's certainly more money in their pocket, a lot more if you use a cash card. Still, nothing beats cold card hard cash. In fact, 85% of business owners say they will always accept cash. Take that. So don't feel like you're causing the downfall of America by not using cash, however. As long as you have the money in the bank, using your debit card is okay. So it's there is a budgeting tool that, called Every Dollar, if you have are looking for some budgeting tools, you might want to research every dollar, EVERY dollar, no space, just EVERYDOLLAR. So with that, we might want to look at the future of cashless payments. And it is huge. More and more folks are using debit cards, bank transfers, cryptocurrency to pay for goods than ever before. In 2021 alone, there were $989 billion of non-cash transactions, while future estimates predict that $2 trillion of cashless payments will take place every year by 2026. So they are predicting that, you know, during these current years, various polls have discovered that today that the percentage of folks really not using cash and using cards, but, you know, a good 25% or more of the public has been using cards for most of the purchases. The percentage of folks who use cash is, of course, declining in a great way. And they're predicting that by just this next year, 2024, that the percentage of folks who are using cash for their purchases is going to drop all the way from around 24% down to about 12%. So it's a steadily declining portion of the population that is using cash or depending on cash. But as many folks have stated before, the fact that it's declining doesn't mean that it's going to disappear, that the cash will remain a part of our financial scene. The non-cash payments like contactless cards and peer-to-peer payments, they abbreviate that P2P, peer-to-peer payments, are steadily gaining popularity. It's primarily driven by young folks. Young folks feel more comfortable navigating the cashless world. I can't forget the last time I was in a Starbucks and how fast the transactions occurred simply because folks were just swiping a card and no wait for the customers to dig out their wallet and then rifle through the wallet for the cash needed for the purchase. A recent research center survey even found that only 45% of Americans age 18 to 45 try to have cash on hand, compared to 71% of those age 50 and above. So, you know, as the younger you get, the less likely that you're going to be motivated by having cash on hand as you leave the house for the day. The research center surveys also found that less affluent Americans are far more reliant on cash than their wealthier peers. So 30% of households with an income below $30,000 say they use cash for all or almost all purchases. Compare that to only 6% of households with incomes above $50,000. Use cash today. So those who have incomes above $50,000 are only about 6% of them use cash that much. And for those with incomes below 30,000, 30% of their of the households say they use cash for most or almost all of their purchases. So going cash, you know, is good news for us. For those folks who struggle with mental mental arithmetic, who certainly don't have to keep track of your minute by minute declines in income on your based in the bank accounts that you may be using, but if you're using cash, of course, all you have to do is just feel the weight of your wallet and look at how many bills you have to know what your level of reserves are. The businesses certainly have been reaping the rewards of a cashless payments. And what are some of those benefits? Well, businesses, certainly increased revenue. Is why the cashless transactions will dominate the payment industry in the future. The small businesses that embrace cashless transactions can enjoy increased customer retention, which in turn bolsters revenue. Speed. Customers really don't want to wait in line to make their purchases. Wow, boy, those queue times are totally slashed by installing cashless devices that complete the transaction process in moments rather than minutes. Lower operating costs. Storing and transporting cash is really costly, particularly today in some of the major urban centers where transporting cash, you know, can be a very a dangerous, life-threatening activity. and many people would not choose that that type of business or type of job in a major city where they're going to be traveling to major city centers in today's world. The costs are quite a bit lower. Accuracy, storing in the non-cash payments really do remove a lot of human error. Small businesses that utilize those cashless payments can usually find accounting software that integrates their payment portals. Going cashless is great for business, quicker transactions. It improves the customer experience and often translates into an increase in their sales volumes. Carrying around less cash can improve security too, of course. Coins and notes, of course, can be lost, stolen, or counterfeited. Cashless systems, however, are usually encrypted, and they can be easily tracked to improve security. So while there's a large number of benefits of going cashless, it's really worth considering the drawbacks of a cashless society. Going cashless puts vulnerable people at risk. That's why some cities and states have introduced legislation to prohibit cashless businesses. The argument behind proposals like that, behind that, is that folks who do not have access to a bank account are still able to buy goods and procure services just like everyone else. So this is particularly important for folks with the lower incomes who may struggle to keep up with credit card payments and feel disenfranchised basically by the move toward a cashless future. Going cashless may exacerbate some financial cybersecurity concerns too, as this is an additional drawback. in an entirely cashless enterprise, bad actors may be able to gain access to private data and expose financial information. And that's a real concern for folks who bank online. And certainly one of the reasons that this reporter has never agreed to do any online banking personally because of fear of the cybersecurity threats. Having an open finance feature that does give, if you get authorization, you got a 360-degree view of their banking details, and that just sets you up for a loss of money. If the banking details, of course, is stolen, many folks have had their that leads to their entire life savings could be at risk. Those cashless payments are on the rise, right? Cashless activity is convenient, is secure, and time efficient for businesses and consumers alike with the proper precautions and guarantees against invasion, privacy invasion by dictatorial type of governments. Companies and government agencies, however, need to respond to the rise of social commerce and the need for contact for transactions that don't involve physical contact. Advancements in cybersecurity are needed to keep the personal data safe, and more pro-cash legislation may be necessary to ensure everyone can still pay for basic goods and services. And with that, we'll close out this hour of reporting, and look forward to sharing additional information with you next week. This reporter is Everett James at phone number 951-522-9877 and can be reached email by punching in evjtax1@gmail.com. And with that, we'll turn it back over to the podcast owner, William Brown.
All right. Thank you, Ev. Appreciate that information. Invaluable, invaluable. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like for you to tune in each and every Wednesday to the World on Finance Show with Mr. Everett James and yours truly, bringing you the latest tax information, the latest because these things are ever changing. Also, give you some financial strategies. So to look forward to, looking forward to it again. Ev, keep it locked right here on the buzz. Thank you again, sir. And we'll speak soon. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, keep it locked right here on Studio W, The Buzz, the finest in broadcasting.